AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Who's going to need a nap today? Everybody raise their hands.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. Sure.
Fred went to bed. I went to bed. I was probably about two in the morning. Fred, you stayed up to...
Let me introduce
the panel. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Right. For people who are new, most people know who's talking here. But today's issues is the program. It's Wednesday, November the 6th. Finally, this day did arrive.
Yeah.
2024. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Great morning.
Hey, amen. It's great morning.
Yep. For the conservatives.
Yes, yes. Great morning. And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be back with you guys.
Yeah, you were saying about Fred?
Yeah, would you? You stayed up. I listened to President Trump's speech this morning while I was getting ready. Mm-hmm. But you listened to it live, and it was
I went about home last
3 in the
night.
Morning or something?
Well, I guess adrenaline builds up after a while. I couldn't go right to bed.
Caffeine for me, but go ahead.
I just stayed up, and it was a long while before they got to that speech when President Trump, his whole family, and the rest of the entourage came out. So I stayed, and of course it was a 30-minute speech, roughly. And
it can't do anything less.
Yeah.
It's not in his DNA.
So it was about 3:00 central when that was done.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to be in here by 6 this morning to do aftermath stuff. So, yeah.
You know what? Again, we've talked about this before. Wesley, I don't know. I'm talking about Donald Trump, the human being. Okay. I'm not talking about his political views or anything like that. I'm talking about how a person that's 78 years old, he was giving speeches up until...
3 in one day.
Yeah, traveling around the country. And I know he has his private jet and everything, and people at his ever beckon. So that does help.
Sure.
But still, you're 78 and the energy it takes to...
Yeah.
Do what he does.
I forget about that. I just take that with him because that's what he's always done. But when you pointed out the way you described it, it's more remarkable than he's been given credit for. Because, I mean, on the other hand, I'm not saying you almost expect him maybe not to have the same type of medical condition Biden did, but you do expect as they get older, as someone gets older, you do expect for that to taper off some. As you saw with Biden, plus he increased with his mental capacity too. But even before his mental capacity, you could tell he was more fatigued. But that's not the case for Trump, and it's remarkable and something to be taken in.
I just want to know. I'd like to write a book on how he does.
What's his vitamin regimen?
His exercise plan. How many Big Macs you should have.
What if Big Macs and no exercise actually the things that make you stronger?
You know what? A study will come out and prove that.
Yeah.
In about 10 years, yes. Probably.
After you missed the opportunity of.
Wesley doesn't remember this, and I barely do. But remember in the 70s, all the scare was cholesterol.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember the egg, a fried egg being on the front of Time magazine saying, basically saying, this is killing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then like 20 years later, they came back and said, hey, the egg is good for you.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's a superfood.
It's a superfood. You remember this?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
They did that with other things like chocolate. Like I read a report the other day that showed that it's been over a year, but that said a good portion of chocolate could potentially prevent cancer. Okay, and I'm going, yeah, wait a minute. Dark I was
chocolate,
told
dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, yeah.
Dark chocolate.
That's why in the medical, that's why in the nutrition field, I ignore all things. And I also say for all years, like it won't change my mind right. 10 years from now. I ignore all things and I do all things in moderation.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy all things, but
I've said this on the air, so some of our listeners have heard me say this before, but I had not had real butter.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Since I was a child, I don't remember, except for 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I say that is when I was growing up, to Tim's point, butter was like eggs. It's killing you.
Yeah.
Cholesterol. So in my house, all I remember since I was a little kid was margarine, which I didn't like.
Yeah.
Margarine. Ooh. So I would eat toast dry. I had toast dry up until about 2 years ago.
No.
Yes, absolutely. My wife made a couple pieces of toast. You want a couple pieces of toast? Yes. And she gave it to me with butter. And I ate it, and I said to her, this is amazing. I had not had actual butter.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Like she cooked the butter.
Yeah.
Are you telling me you went 5 decades?
Yes.
Without knowing what butter tasted like on toast?
That is absolutely true. Ooh.
You have been deprived.
Yes, and I'm angry about it.
Yeah, well, you can't get those years back. You can't.
You know, the other thing, too, is
hey, guys, there was a presidential election last
year. Yeah, we should talk about
that. I
think we
whole milk.
Yes.
Everything was skim milk. Gotta have skim milk.
Gotta have skim milk, yeah.
Anyway, we did start off talking about Trump as a force of nature.
Yeah, but you can tell the four of us didn't go to bed till 2 and 3 in the morning because we are delirious now, not even knowing what we're talking about.
But you're the only one that I've heard point that out the way that you have. If any,
about Trump's energy?
Yeah, yeah.
Stamina? It's just remarkable. I don't know how he does it. Just his DNA, his makeup. All right, so Fred, what time was President Trump declared the 47th president of the United States?
At 12:28.
President-elect.
Central time last night. I think it was just moments before we went off the air.
Mm-hmm.
We finally got that count.
Tim, we were trying to decide how long we were going to stay. And we were close to midnight, and Tim said, I'll tell you what, we'll go to 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's when.
However, here we are, 10 hours later? And I'm looking at Fox. We're still with Trump sitting at 277, all right? 270 Electoral College to win, 277. And here's the reason why, guys. Michigan, 98.22% of the votes have been reported. Trump is up by 91,000, but they're not calling that yet for Trump, Michigan. Likewise, Nevada.
It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the sense that Trump's already got the numbers.
This would just add.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. We talked about this last night. Arizona, polls have been closed, for 20 hours now?
Mm-hmm.
They're still only reporting 60% of the vote count.
Yeah. That's
what
crazy.
What is going on in Arizona? But Trump is ahead there as well.
Well, they suffer from heat exhaustion in Arizona, so you can't blame them.
Well, you were kind of expecting something like that you were kind of looking out for something like that in Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania got theirs in and done.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what Trump did last night that closed the deal, to borrow from, isn't that what language he likes?
Oh, yeah. Part of the deal.
The battleground states of Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, Trump swept those.
Yep.
That basically did it for him. Mm-hmm. And
he's likely going to sweep Michigan,
yes,
Arizona, and Nevada.
And Nevada, it's going to be a blowout. Mm-hmm. Basically, he won the popular vote, which is astounding. Yes. Absolutely amazing that he won the popular. To me, it is the popular vote. Because you said, Wesley, the Republican hadn't won the popular vote since when?
Since George Bush Sr.
Really? George Bush Sr.?
Sr., yep. George Bush Sr., I believe, was the last one to win it. But you and I were talking about this morning, I'm not surprised at all. I wasn't even on pins and needles yesterday. I was confident Trump was going to win. And, you know, save 5 minutes of why I felt that way. However, in my confidence for 6 months that he was going to win, I never would have debated or even had any inclination that he would have won the popular vote. That was never on.
Right.
I would have said he is going to win, no problem. That's my opinion. But the popular vote he's going to lose by 2%.
Okay. Well, what's,
but he won by 3.5% or 4%. Well, yeah, there's still some coming in, but right, he's going to end up winning the popular vote by 3.5% or 4%, which is almost five million.
Yeah, about 5 million.
Let that just sink in for a second. Trump winning the popular vote.
Right.
As bad as they make him out to be, he's about to win the popular vote.
Yeah. And let me just toss this in. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize things. It seems like God's hand was on this whole process.
Yes.
And God, I think God is giving us a reprieve. But here's two things to consider about the election. Okay. In terms of ratcheting down the possibility of violence and the country tearing itself apart, if this had been wound up being 271 electoral votes to 269, I think you could have had trouble in terms of people launching lawsuits and violence in the streets. But it looks like Trump is going to win by a pretty significant margin.
Over 300.
Yeah. So maybe 312, 315 to 226, almost 100 electoral votes. That kind of pops that bubble in terms of potential for violence, but also the fact that he's going to wind up winning the popular vote.
Yes.
That is always stuck in the craw of the left.
Yep.
That we need to get rid of the Electoral College. This is a corrupt system. Well,
we need popular vote.
He won the popular vote too. So to me, those two things are going to probably wind up being part of God's mercy on our country.
Yeah. In his speech last night, which was around 2:30 in the morning, he tried to strike a bit of a tone of reaching out tone that it was time for the country to heal. Here's a little bit of his speech, cut number six.
This was a movement like nobody's ever seen before. And frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country and maybe beyond. And now it's going to reach a new level of importance because we're going to help our country heal. We're going to help our country heal. We have a country that needs help, and it needs help very badly.
Does he mean that?
I think so. By the way, let me just say, I was talking.
I wouldn't have that attitude, but go ahead.
Well, I think he needs to hit up when he gets inaugurated in January. Okay, he does need to hit the ground running in terms of fixing things. A lot of people need to be fired. Okay.
Amen, brother.
I'm not talking about that kind of thing.
Vivek Ramaswamy, put him in charge. Yes. Tell him, clean house.
Clean house.
You got my blessings? Go do it. Go all over the town.
And we do have some sound when you talk about RFK Jr. and stuff like that. But I do like the emphasis from the speech last night on reaching out and saying, listen, we do need to heal. So I said this last night on the show. I'm not talking about firing people. All that stuff needs to happen. Breaking up the power structure in D.C. if he can pull that off. But I
closing
don't.
The border. I mean,
closing the border, all those kinds of things. But I do think, I don't think he needs to waste his 2 years where he's got the Senate and the House. He does not have to waste those 2 years going after his political enemies in terms
of. They're dead. He beat them last night.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying,
a vengeance tour?
Yes, a vengeance tour, you know, turning the Justice Department loose on his enemies. I don't think he needs to waste his time doing that. He needs to fix things as much as he can in those 2 years to keep the House and Senate.
I agree. Let me just make a personality. I'm not great at this, but a personality observation on Trump is that he is. You know, the art of the deal guy, the businessman, the wheeler dealer part of him. he says things sometimes that he doesn't mean, but he does it for a reason. I don't agree with that, the way he approaches that sometimes, because he'll call people names. You call Nikki Haley a bird brain?
Right.
For 6 months, a woman running for who worked for you?
Yeah.
Call her stupid? I don't agree with doing that. But he does that to diminish her chances to beat him.
Right.
Okay? Because that's what his objective is to put her in her place and beat her down.
Yeah.
That's why he calls him Ron DeSanctimonious.
Right.
Because he wanted to put the governor of Florida in his place and beat him down.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's the way he operates as a human being.
Right.
So I think he's also the type of person that can call you a name and then tomorrow play golf with you.
I absolutely okay. agree.
Because he doesn't really mean it in the sense that it's personal, even though it sounds personal. Does yeah. that make sense?
No, absolutely does. And we've said this.
Win.
We've yeah. said this a bunch of times. He is a guy who worked in, you know, a money-making machine, who worked in New York City. You're dealing with hardcore.
He was the king of Manhattan, guys, basically. Yeah.
Union guys. And these are no cent, no right. Take no prisoners kind of. And so this is the way he's operated. And listen, I grew up in New England. It's probably not as bad as in New York City. But that's the way you deal with your opponents in a very aggressive manner, because he has to get something done, and he can't have the tower he's building in Manhattan. He can't have that held up by a union, you know, boss who's demanding X, Y, or Z. So he goes after that person, but it's not personal. It's just you're in my way. And afterwards, I'll buy your lunch.
Mm-hmm. Right, 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 yeah. right. So big win for this is bigger than just Donald Trump's resurgence, I guess you could say. Somebody called it the greatest political comeback in American history. I would have to agree. In terms of my lifetime, I can't remember anything quite like this. I personally thought Trump was dead in the water.
Yeah.
After January 6th, I saw his. He might as well retire.
You were completely shocked when he said he was running again. You said this is a waste of time. This is all going to do is divide the party. Like you were.
Yes, that's what I thought. Yeah. I thought I was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
In the end, I was in the final analysis. I was wrong. Because I didn't realize the reservoir of...
But everything had to have happened. I mean, it was not a straight path forward for him, too. I mean,
no,
a lot of people felt the same way you felt.
Yes, Donald Trump should agree to appear on the box of Lucky Charms. as a new mascot.
Yeah.
Because the man has nine lives. Yeah. I've never seen anything quite like it. Some people say, well, that's divine intervention, and maybe it is. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you said last night, it's absolutely true. He was tied with Ron DeSantis.
Yes.
When the primary season
in
opened,
March of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you said two. I got two words to say who resurrected Donald Trump's chances. Alvin Bragg.
Yeah.
Okay. So most Republicans.
The Manhattan DA.
The Manhattan District Attorney who charged Trump. So most Republicans were split. In terms of who they wanted to see make it as the nominee
right,
for the
because
party.
Because they thought, like I did, his chances of winning were zero.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yep. Yes.
Well, thanks to Alvin Bragg.
Well, I think the way Trump responded to all of those charges in various states, Trump came out fighting. And people began to say, that's what the country needs.
Yeah.
Is a fighter. You know, they like Ron DeSantis, that's for sure. But they saw a fight in him. And then, of course, what happened in Butler?
Yeah,
the assassination attempt. Yep. He comes up fighting. He's got blood
right,
on him.
Right.
The fist is
right gone. Out of a movie.
It was.
Yeah. Huh? It.
Well, that also showed
exactly
you.
Exactly right.
You can't practice that. You can't even recreate that in your mind. Like, what am I going to do if this happens? That was the most authentic and genuine response to that moment that you can't. That you, like I said, you can't recreate, and for anybody that was on the fence or close, I think that was one more moment that pushed them over.
And that was something that President Trump alluded to last night, as far as God sparing his life. Cut number three.
When I said that, many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason. And that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And now we are going to fulfill that mission together. We're going to fulfill that mission.
Well, congratulations to Donald J. Trump, the 47th president of the United States. He will be inaugurated in January. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it won't be January 6th, but anyway. Or maybe that's a good thing. But he will be inaugurated. There's so much to talk about here.
We're
going to talk about it. But this was, by the way, does anybody know, as of this moment, has Vice President Harris called to congratulate?
No, he's
and concede?
No.
She has not.
I don't say to congratulate, but at least to concede. She has not?
No, and she didn't last night, and she has not so far this morning, which is very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unusual. Now, she's going to address, right, her own party. She's going to make her concession speech tonight at 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
which is late. That's late for making a concession speech. But usually you call your opponent well in advance.
She may do that today. Yeah. I would expect her to do that today. But she just, I don't know. I don't like calling anybody terrible. But she was a terrible candidate.
Yes.
I mean, we all know that.
Really bad.
Huh?
And she was frankly, a terrible vice president. She didn't do anything.
Nope.
Even when she was given authority to do something.
She got the job because she was a woman of color. And that's why Joe Biden picked her. And that's basically what he said, which only proves you don't pick people based on their race, gender, ethnicity.
Or height.
Or height or depth.
Or hair.
Or any other thing.
You pick people to run for. Now, it doesn't. I'm not saying it's wrong to make those those things a consideration if, in fact,
you have two people
you are
qualified first.
Yes, you have to be qualified.
Yes.
But and maybe you do want to pick somebody for their ethnicity or as part of the equation.
Sure.
Okay. But the way the Democrats have been doing with this DEI, is that what you call it?
Right. Yep.
Diversity, is that you got to check the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, okay.
First.
We need a.
First. That, huh? You do it first.
Yeah, you do it first. The qualifications are.
Maybe down the list.
And so the Democrats are reaping what they sowed.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley?
Oh, yeah. They're reaping what they've sowed, and you're. This is one more, I guess, nailing in the coffin. I don't know about nailing the coffins. That's almost like it's permanent done. But this is one more blow to the DEI and the wokeism taking place.
It's a big
because
blow.
We've seen it over the last 3 to 4 years. Wokeism is failing on college campuses. It's also failing in the workforce.
Corporate America is becoming very wary of it.
But both of those, and now this has happened, that she has failed. This is one more blow that this is not working. That's why with all that's going on at the border and inflation and the other problems, I do want to point out, and I have in the past, that our movement is winning at least heavily in one area, and that's on this issue of wokeism and transgenderism. Men and women's sports, those issues we're winning on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm looking at the popular vote here, and now that 51% of the popular vote is going to Donald Trump. That's huge.
Yeah. Another thing, I know we got to take a break over here. We got some sound clips to play, but I was reading this morning several commentators saying, you know, the American people, the majority now, we can say, honestly, last night, because the Republicans cleaned up in the Senate, it was embarrassing for the Democrats. But the majority of American people are tired of being called Nazis.
Right.
They're tired of being
garbage.
Garbage.
Tired deplorables.
Of huh?
Deplorables.
I mean,
this goes on.
Tired of being called racist. Tired of being called homophobes. And they had an opportunity last night to speak to the progressive movement and say, you know, how you like them apples?
Yeah, sure.
You know, and that's what happened. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First,
they target the babies. Then they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. We're talking about what happened yesterday, last night. Donald Trump won the presidency, beating Kamala Harris handily in the Electoral College and the popular vote. So he will be the 47th president of the United States in January. In the meantime, we don't have a president. Basically, don't have a vice president. So there's, you walk up to the cockpit of the plane, there ain't no pilots, people. And that,
you're not exaggerating either.
That's reality. The truth. That's the truth, because Biden's checked out.
Now, we don't want to tell our enemies that that's the case.
Well, they know
it. Oh, yeah, okay.
They know it. You don't even have to tap our phone lines.
to find that out.
That's a good
Biden's one. Checked out, and you got, and you know what's going to, and now what, Harris doesn't care. She's gone too.
Right.
So there's no interest in leading or being responsible.
Yeah.
She's never been known to be that way anyway.
She's done politically.
I think so.
I mean, she's not going to have a comeback. I don't think she can run for office again.
No,
she can't lecture. She can't go on the lecture circuit. I mean, maybe if she had a good speech writer, she could pull that off, but
she could probably go on the Food Channel and have a show called Making Salads with Kamala.
Making Salads. I like that.
Making Salads with Kamala right here on the Food Channel.
She went on a couple Food Channels with some comedians and other people. That's funny you mentioned that. Did you know about that?
She did?
Well, she was on Saturday SNL. By the way, we didn't talk about that last night. NBC's in trouble over that.
Yeah,
did you guys talk about it
the other day?
All right.
Yeah, that is having her on Kamala Harris on Saturday night prior to a Tuesday election is an unfair. You're not supposed to do that as a national broadcaster.
Right.
Without giving Trump the opportunity to be on as well and others who were running.
Which he would not have the opportunity because there were no more Saturdays before the election.
Hey, that's a good quick point to make. You know, I mentioned that in the event that Donald Trump and the Republicans pull this out, they won with one hand behind their back, and they did.
Yeah,
how do you mean that?
That the entire media gauntlet was in opposition to Trump in all ways.
The mainstream media.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they have as much sway as they used to have.
I don't either.
They don't. Because the advent of the podcaster and the internet and everything.
That's right.
The mainstream, what we call the mainstream media, yes, they have their share of eyeballs, but they're not the only game in town anymore. You look at, for example, the Fox News channel has been the leading television news cable channel for years now, 25 years. And so
that's what CNN's contract in.
They're basically conservative.
Airports.
So I just think, yes, the mainstream media has been liberal. Listen, this time the Washington Post
and the LA Times.
LA Times didn't endorse a candidate because they saw the writing on the wall, you know.
Look, well, I also, I just throw I this one
Abe's
thing
on
in.
Too.
But Elon Musk, He buys Twitter, and now X is a game changer in terms of getting news out. What's the effect on the election that X had, and thus Elon Musk, in terms of having an outlet that's not controlled by the CNNs and MSNBC?
Listen, Elon Musk put a lot on the line. Now, not his personal wealth. I mean, he's got enough money to live a thousand lifetimes comfortably. But I'm talking about, so he really didn't have to get involved. But I think Elon Musk realized what the worldview and political views were so drastically different between Trump and Harris, Democrats and Republicans. He said, I've got to speak out on this. I've got to talk about this because we're talking about basically Marxism versus capitalism.
Yeah.
From a financial, economic point of view. All right, Abe Hamilton joins us right now. Abraham Hamilton III, who's host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon, 5 to 6 o'clock, right here on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, Abe, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing very, very well, though I'm sleepy. I'm doing very well. God is merciful to us.
Amen. Yes.
Why, you mean God wanted Trump to win?
Well, I believe God has given our country a reprieve, to give us a break from the hellscape, frankly, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, that a Harris administration would have been for our country across the board.
I agree.
You mentioned Elon Musk, and he described it as the woke mind virus. Some people don't recognize this. He has a combination of his business interest, but he also shared in an interview with Jordan Peterson how his own son was ensnared by the transgender ideology, and he said he's lost his son forever. And that was one of the things that motivated him to get involved.
And that's what the Democrats have been pushing.
Yeah.
And this is a repudiation, unlike anything I've seen in a long time, of the what I call the secular progressive movement in America. Now, it doesn't mean they're
going away, but
they're not going away, and they're not completely dead, I guess. But
they're not dead, but the American people is repudiating that. You know, for a lot of people, it was too far. It's too far that the American people spoke very loudly when you have the combination of, you know, the Electoral College vote while there's still states counting the national popular vote. And yet you have people on crazy outlets, MSNBC and others. They're talking about misogyny and racism and all that. That's like, you guys have no ability to be objective and introspective. The fact is, this was a cultural repudiation of your whacked out ideology. That is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean, you had MSNBC analysts calling what happened in Florida in terms of the defeat of the pro-abortion side on Amendment 4 and saying that that's evidence of fascism. what's her name?
Joy Reid.
Joy Reid. Saying that's evidence of fascism.
I know they're.
That's absurd. That's absurd. And Wesley made the point. These people have lost their sway because one of the major things that I thought was a pretty genius stroke by the Trump campaign is that he's going on these long form interviews. Like the interview Trump had with Elon Musk on Twitter got over a billion views. A billion people tuned in. These long form interviews, they got to hear. Yeah, Joe Rogan, you know, and people got to hear Trump, got to hear J.D. Vance in long form. And when they listened to him, it's like, this doesn't sound like fascism to me. This doesn't sound like Hitler to me. This doesn't sound like this to me. So then when you have Joy Reid, who will say the democratic participation of Floridians to decide that they don't want to amend their constitution, having the opportunity to do so. And for her to say that's evidence of fascism, that's just absurd.
Right.
It's not just a bad take.
I would be surprised if MSNBC, I mean, they may get a new audience, be re-energized because they're opposing the fascism of Trump and the Republicans, but they also may just go out of business, too. It wouldn't surprise me at all because they don't have anything to offer, really. All right, let's talk. I want to talk for just a minute. What the Senate means to President Trump in terms of his agenda, namely the judges, the Supreme Court justices. You know, it's been rumored for a long time that, I don't know if even it's a rumor, maybe Clarence Thomas has said, I want to retire.
Yeah.
Samuel Alito, the two stalwart conservatives on the Supreme Court. Trump can appoint anybody he wants to now, right? And there's no resistance.
Now, you're absolutely right. Now, as we're speaking, the Republicans have a majority in the Senate with 52 seats, and there's still states counting. You know,
it may be 53, 54. Who knows?
It could, Tim, in some instances, be as much as 56, potentially. If Nevada goes to Brown, if Michigan goes to Mike Rogers, if Pennsylvania goes to McCormick, and if Wisconsin goes to Hovde, you're at 56. That is
poor Chuck Schumer. Poor fella.
I don't feel
likeable.
Bad for Chuck, huh? Chucky Duck Quack Quack. Remember, he wanted to cause the Supreme Court to reap the whirlwind. Remember that?
Yes. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. You better watch your back, Gorsuch. Yeah. And Kavanaugh.
Yes, by name.
Yeah,
yes.
He called him out like threatening violence against you. But now
he did it in a peaceful way.
mostly
peaceful.
I think the secular progressive movement, they got they're laying on the mat now. This is Muhammad Ali knocking down somebody, and they're laying on the mat, huh?
Sonny Liston, and he's standing over him with the red glove waving.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, interesting. So the Republicans take the House. The Senate, the House, by the way, where does that stand, Fred?
Right now, I think it's
198 to 178 in favor of the Republicans in terms of races called. So it's not decided. But although I think as of last night.
All you need is a one vote majority to control all the committees.
Four had been flipped. In favor of Republicans, three had been flipped in favor of Democrats, and Republicans are up one seat, according to Fox, up at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see anybody, Abe, right now on the Democrat side that will pick up the pieces and try to give them leadership where they can gain back some?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. It's not because of a lack of youth and a lack of people, but it's the ideology. Like, for so long, the Democrats have purged anyone that had any type of centrist leaning whatsoever. And what we're seeing is that the country is repudiating this radical ideology. The Democrats' standard for their primary processes, for example, for the presidency, you have to be pro-trans everything. You have to be abortion up until the 40th week of gestation, even after the fact. You have to be pro-everything, transgender surgeries on minors.
Against Israel?
Israel. You have to be against they call it fossil fuels. It's just the energy sector that has lifted the largest amount of people in the history of the world out of poverty through what they call fossil fuels. You have to be against American independence on the energy front. You have to be against all of that in order to get any traction in the Democrat Party. And that's what they've curated over the last 20 years.
And there's no backing out of that for the Democrats.
You can't just reverse course. You have to have an entire new slate of folks. You know, and so the question is whether or not their own party, their own base will accept that. You had the Harris campaign afraid to come flat out and say Hamas is terrorists. Yes. We don't support people chopping off children's heads and murdering grandma coming out of her home. But they couldn't say that because of what they've created in their party. And so it's going to require them to be objective and introspective and have a reconsideration as to what should be the core of what they believe. And that's going to take some time. And I'm not sure their base will allow it to happen.
Well, I haven't considered this until just this conversation. Abe, do you think there could potentially be a split within the Democratic Party?
Yes,
thinking about this now.
But you can't win anything if you start splitting up.
No, hold on. I don't mean okay.
And I'm not disagreeing there won't be. I'm just telling you.
And I don't
ramifications.
I don't mean yes, but I don't mean Democrats party split up in the sense that there becomes
two different parties.
I'm saying they kick out, that's another way I'm saying. Does
like
that make sense?
Like a church split.
Yeah.
Well, what I think you're going to see is you're going to see some people in the Democrat Party are going to be willing to say, yeah, you know, mutilating kids, that's too far. Then you're going to have some that say, no, that's not far enough.
Yeah,
and so you're going to have that tension within the Democrat Party. And historically, they've been willing to just wink and nod. Let's try to win elections. But in light of what the country is saying, when you have in blue states that Trump did not win, but you have blue states where Trump comes within 5 points in New Jersey. of a Democrat presidential candidate when you have the Bronx and certain boroughs in New York that Trump is within five points?
Yep.
That's a wake-up call for them in states that are traditionally strongholds. And then you have this whole description of the blue wall. Well, the whole wall is red.
Yeah.
All right, what happens to the remaining lawsuits that Trump's dealing with? The federal case having to do with January 6th in D.C., and then you got the two cases, one in New York, one in Georgia. That's all that's left, right? What's going to happen there?
The federal case is practically over. The federal case is practically over, and this is why. Because he is the 47th president, 47th president elect currently, whatever the stage of litigation that transpires on Inauguration Day, he, as a commander-in-chief and head of the Department of Justice, will immediately cause that case to be dismissed.
Okay.
That is, the federal case is practically over. The remaining things are the Georgia case and the sentencing in New York with Alvin Bragg's prosecution. And frankly, the allegations in that case, and I said this even before the election, don't bear any carceral sentence. If the Biden administration is committed to wanting healing, he should come out. He should come out immediately and say, listen, all of this prosecution's lawfare stuff, this needs to stop. He needs to take the lead, and I'm not expecting him to do so, but I'm saying if there is a genuine interest.
Go ahead, and then I got to comment about what he's talking about.
If there's a genuine interest in moving forward, then he needs to come out and say this stuff needs to be tossed out. And he needs to preemptively pardon Trump in order to do so.
Abe, the judge in New York is crazy. He is wacky, wacky, crazy. Would he be crazy enough to go ahead with the sentencing now?
You're asking Abe?
How do you predict crazy?
You're asking me.
I'm asking Abe. This judge has no credibility whatsoever. Yeah, none.
He ain't going to do that. Can I use the word ain't right there? I've used it once already.
Yeah, you can.
Don't do it.
All right, let me just tell you, to reiterate kind of what Abe is saying. I didn't let Abe answer the question. Abe, you want to answer the question, or do you have an answer?
Whatever you want to do. I can answer, or I can.
I'd like to hear the answer. What's your expectation?
Ed hears me enough, so go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, as crazy as he is, and I agree that he is crazy, that Judge Merchan is crazy, but I didn't expect him to render a carceral sentence in the first place because it's so beyond the scope of any criminal prosecution. You know, you have, and this is the truth, you have cases, we have sexual assault cases that because of the facts of the case that the convicted person ends up getting a probation. Mm. You know, so to take this circumstance and to give President Trump any type of carceral sentence would be absurd. And here's the other thing. Judge Merchan is an elected official. Do you think he's not looking at the election results in his neck of the woods? Mm. And he recognizes, oh, snap, Trump is not as unpopular as we thought he was, that you have in a significant percentage of people in the place where I need to be reelected that are in favor of Trump. I think he's going to look at these election results and turn in a different direction. Now, how far? I'm not sure, but I don't think he's crazy enough to jeopardize his own reelection chances. And so I think that above anything else is going to be impactful in his decision whether or not to proceed with sentencing or what type of sentencing or things of that nature would follow. But I think in the interest of the state of the country and in the interest of justice, the entire thing should be thrown out.
I tried to find this clip, couldn't find it. But last night I was watching Fox News and Trey Gowdy was on there, the former House member from South Carolina. And he's a district attorney or something in his background. Anyway, he made a very good point along the lines of what Abe's saying. He said what Biden should do today or ASAP for the sake of our country, Biden should preemptively pardon, is that what you call it, or dismiss the federal case against Trump in D.C., the January 6th case. Florida case was dismissed 3 months ago or 5 months, whenever it was, when the judge said special prosecutor's unconstitutional. But anyway, so Biden should do that. And Trey Gowdy said he can also pardon Hunter Biden if he wants to. So you pardon Hunter Biden, you dismiss or pardon Trump on the federal case. You can't pardon somebody who's not convicted. So I don't know how I'm trying to say that. I'm talking about the federal case against Trump in D.C., just dismiss it. Just say federal government has dropped. I've instructed the Justice Department to drop the case.
Yeah.
Okay. However you want to say it. And that way, And then put pressure, he said, as a Democrat leader to, such that he is, Biden, Democrat leader, to have Georgia and North New York drop the cases. That way we can all move on.
Yeah.
The country can move on, and we can quit prosecuting our political enemies, which would be good for the country. That's what Trey Gowdy said, and he said it well, and I couldn't agree with him.
What do you think about that?
I think that's right. I mean, and the way he can do it is simply say the American people have spoken, and it's time for us to listen. We've had these previous years of rancor, you know, elevated rhetoric, and when I came into office, I promised to be, you know, a uniter, a reconciler, and all of that, and I meant that. And so in the last stages of my presidency, I want to do my best to put our nation in a position better than it was when I inherited, whatever you want to say on that front, and say, and to accomplish that, these are steps that must be taken.
Then he can ask, is that chocolate or strawberry?
Yeah. And then he can say, take that, Barack.
Yeah, I know. Nancy. That's what I was thinking. There's no downside for Biden to do
there's no
exactly
downside.
What he said.
In fact, if he does that, he would actually elevate his state beyond what it's ever been since he's been in the Oval Office.
There's no downside
between naps if you can wake him up.
Abe, let me toss this out to you. With Election Day, between Election Day and inauguration, there's what two and a half months, something like that. What do you expect? Because Biden-Harris is still a thing. All right, they still technically have authority. What do you expect is going to happen over the next, whatever, 2.5 months? You think they're going to try to break stuff so that Trump comes in? You remember with the Clinton administration when they left?
Hold
remember
on,
they,
let me interrupt. You mean break stuff worse? Because yes. they have thoroughly broken stuff.
Break stuff worse so that when on day one of the Trump administration, he's got all kinds of problems to do. It kind of a petty thing, when the Clinton administration left office for George Bush, they did damage. I'm not talking about this kind of thing, but this is the kind of mentality. Remember, they like mess with the keyboards, did stuff to the computers. But I'm talking about the economy or ramming through regulations and doing things to kind of have the last say and make things difficult for Trump on day one. What do you expect is going to happen over the next 2.5 months?
It's unfortunate, but it's not beyond the calculus that there would be some people that would do those types of things. And now I don't think Joe Biden would do it himself. I don't think Kamala Harris would do it herself. But I do think there's some people that are sufficiently vindictive within their administration, because let's be frank, Joe Biden is not making any decisions now anyway. Neither is Kamala Harris. They're not controlling anything. So there are people in their administration that I think that would be vindictive enough to try those kinds of things.
It's the bureaucracy in the deep state, so to speak, that's in state in control for the next 2 months. There's no, and you know what? I don't know what to worry about exactly, specifically like you're talking about, but if you have these people who know Trump's coming in with a new attitude, and he's going to hire people who are going to fire people. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to be looking for people that have been against. I don't know how to say this. Anyway, they're going to want to hire people that agree with their ideology, like anybody has a right to, right? And so if you've got people who know that's coming and they still have the keys to the car right now, I mean, some funny things could happen.
Right.
I mean, that's not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that's one perspective, but also I think that's one potentiality. And I also think there are going to be some who are going to be trying to save their own skin and looking to try to get their next gig lined up as well.
That's
so
a good thing.
I would invite that. And you asked a question. I never answered it about the Senate's makeup concerning its impact on judges.
Yeah, go ahead.
Simply put, Justice Samuel Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas, they are older. They're in the upper years. Justice Thomas has stated directly he was considering retiring. I don't think they're going to repeat what Ruth Bader Ginsburg did. She held on and stayed in her position as a justice through the Obama years, into the Trump years, and unfortunately passed away. Unfortunately for her and the Democrat Party, passed away in office, which led to President Trump's opportunity to replace her. I don't think Justice Alito and Justice Thomas will repeat that, which highlights why the work we've been doing through AFA Action is so important, helping to position the Trump campaign with godly, world constitutionalist, biblical worldview-centered potential jurists who could replace Justices Thomas and Alito and not allow for anybody else to replace them to maintain the conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme
Court. Fred and then Wesley.
All right, Abe, very quick. What do you think that President Trump is going to do with those who are in prison as a result of January 6th convictions?
Well, he said he's going to pardon them. He said personally he was going to pardon January 6th defendants.
Oh, he's got to do that day one. Yeah. That's not even a question.
I think you'll see that day one. I do.
Wes, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to share that since we started the program, Wisconsin has made it official that it's for Trump.
Hmm.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
And what about the Senate race? Has the Senate race been made official with Hovde over Baldwin? Because then that would take the Republican majority in the Senate up to 53.
In Wisconsin, you're talking about.
I do not see that called yet.
Okay. I haven't seen it called yet either.
We're still waiting on Pennsylvania.
You know what? I'm not saying that Trump wouldn't have won anyway, but boy, the Democrats just made one terrible mistake after another. From Biden,
Walls will forever be forgotten now.
Tim Walls, you can go back to coaching.
Yeah,
right.
Knucklehead.
Again, the Lord is merciful.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And that sincerely, and you do too, Abe.
I do mean it sincerely.
Okay. Now, if I were Trump, I'd come out today, this afternoon, and say, "Hey, I'm going to go golf." But I just want you to know, last night after I got through speaking, I went back and started reading Project 2025.
That's it. Let's go.
They would go crazy.
And you know what? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in there I like.
There's a lot.
I told y'all a couple months ago, I didn't even know what was in it.
Now that I've read it, it's beautiful. Like Project 25 is a beautiful project.
That's beautiful.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.